Let us pray. Blessed God, eternal goodness, righteousness, and truth forever, blessed you are, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us that pure and holy Spirit, that our hearts may be right with your law written on them, that the inspiration of our thoughts may be true and all our ways truly righteous. Pour down your Spirit that we might be filled up into your presence, that we might dwell in righteousness and live forever, bathed in your truth, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson, it's a New Testament lesson, will be read in Acts chapter 7. That's page 1163 in the Red Bible and 914 in the Blue Bible. Acts chapter 7, 1 through 3. Hear the word of our God. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you.'" May the Lord bless to our understanding this reading of his holy word.
You'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll begin at verse 1. Listen, this is God's holy, inspired word. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, it may be hard to believe, but we are in our third section of Genesis. At least you could break it down that way. We had the section of Adam and Eve, then one of Noah, and now we come to one of Abram. In Genesis, there is presented a movement, a history of redemption. The glory of creation is in Genesis. The terror of the fall we have heard in Genesis. And the promise of redemption we have heard and continue to hear in Genesis. Genesis presents us, in that sense, with the fullness of the Christian worldview, which we understand in those three movements: creation, fall, redemption. The passage this morning is a focus on the redemptive aspect of the Christian worldview, and it has to do ultimately with God, although one of the characters in this is Abram. It's Abram because he's not Abraham yet. God hasn't given him that name yet. It's interesting, when you listen to preachers preach on this, they automatically say Abraham. Now, maybe they're thinking that because that is his ultimate name. At the end of the day, it is Abraham, but I prefer to try to keep it to what it says in this section, Abram, because that's what it says. Abram, or Abraham, is a central figure in the Old Testament, one of the most central figures. He is considered Father Abraham. I know some of you want to burst out into that song now. Please don't. Father Abraham. But that's not because a song was made to say that. That's because Abram, along with Isaac and Jacob, are the three key patriarchs that define Judaism. If you go in the rest of Scripture, it is often the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Noah, not Adam, not Moses, not David, all important in God's redemptive history, but it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of God's people. And so this is the beginning of that. This is the beginning of that story of how it comes about that Abe becomes such an important person in the history of redemption. Now the Lord God said to Abe, or Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's household or house to the land that I will show you. That is, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. You notice it goes from the general to the specific. There's a movement. Leave your country. Right? Your entire nation, as we might say it, and your people, that might be his extended family or tribe. That won't come till later, technically, but... And then leave your father's household. This probably needs some interpretation for us because our families aren't structured the way they were back then. You didn't leave home when you got married. They might have added a room onto the house and you stayed there. It's hard for us to imagine this arrangement, for many of us anyways. I see some that are in agreement with that. You would never leave your household, right? Now, some of you have grown up in Casper and never left Casper, but you're probably not living in the house that you were born into. If you are, I'd be interested in hearing about that. I find that actually interesting. But so God comes to him and says, you've got to leave. Now, some of you have experienced this. You've had to leave from where you grew up. And I don't mean just the house, but you've had to leave the community that you grew up in. And that is a very difficult thing. It's a very emotional thing. It's a very, you could call it an inconvenience to have to do that. There's some strange people, there's some of them here probably, like moving. They like to go to new places, right? And the problem is, well, Bethany's pointing to herself. I don't know what's up with that, but the problem that comes with that is you leave people that you love, and that's painful. And if you're not, then you've probably never, you haven't been living wherever you've been living. Right? And we can speak about that from experience. It's not easy. But something I love about the story of Abram is the way God communicates with him. It's so honest. God does not repackage the calling and say, hey, Abe, get ready. You're going on an adventure to this new and exciting place. And then he doesn't talk about the, you know, assets of the community and all the cultural offerings that will be wherever he's going to. He doesn't do that. He says, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to leave, leave, leave. And then you're going to go to a place that I'm going to show you, but I'm not telling you now. Right? You know, how would you like that? Bill, you're supposed to leave. I don't know where, but you better pack your bags and just get moving and see where you end up. Right? That's basically what God says. I mean, he says a little more. He says he is going to show him. But man, that requires some faith, doesn't it? I mean, I've had to move and it wasn't quite that extreme. It was close to that, but it wasn't quite that extreme. As if God says, when I call you, don't take it lightly. He's not saying doubt. He's not saying delay. He's not saying think about being obedient. But he is saying don't take it lightly. The things that I'm calling you to aren't going to be easy. They're going to be significant. They're going to be life-changing and transforming. And so we need to not take the call of God lightly. You should not be taking the call that God has on your life lightly. If Abraham or Abram will be obedient and grow, he must go. If he's going to be obedient and grow, he must go where God calls him. I use both the words obedience and grow because in the modern church, we like to talk a lot about growing. If you want to grow, you need to do this. But that's self-serving in some sense. But obedience is part of the package as well. It is true that when we're obedient to God, we grow in Him because we discover that He's good. We discover that He's faithful in obedience. We're missing out a lot on that. And he's reminding us this morning. If you want to grow, be obedient. They're two sides of the same coin, if you will. Because being a Christian that follows God is a life-transforming experience. And if you have no zeal and passion and excitement for the things of God, it's because you're not following Him. Because, well, God doesn't say, hey, you're going to, Abram, you're going to be on an adventure. You are going to be on an adventure with the Lord. Now, too many people think and too many preachers have preached that this passage is about a great man named Abram. It is not. It is about a great God who calls him. If there's one thing we struggle with in the Western church, it is a man-centered faith. And we're going to hear more about this next week, about our desire for a hero. Abram is not a hero. This passage isn't ultimately about Abram. It's about the God who makes promises to Abram and to us. He says, I will make of you a great nation. And boy, a great nation, Abram. Abram's about 70 years old at this time. His wife, I didn't do the math, I don't know what, she's at least that old and she's barren, right? And so, I could have understood if it was recorded that Abram says, yeah, right. Well, he kind of does. They laugh about it, right? And Jacob goes through this. There's a theme of laughing about God's promises in Scripture. And I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I am going to bless you. God is a nation maker and a blesser. And this gets fulfilled, right? Because Abram becomes the father of all who are in Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 1. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham. And He says that I will bless those who bless you.
He's going to make a great name. God will make his name great. Now you remember from the Tower of Babel. You say, well, wait a minute. God says he's going to make a great name and a great nation out of Abram. Isn't that what the people at the Tower of Babel were trying to do? To make a great name and a great nation. Yes, but that's not what's happening with Abram. Abram isn't trying to make his name great. He's not trying to make a great nation. God is going to make his name great. God is going to make him into many nations. It's the act of God for the glory of God. It is not about Abram. There's a stark difference. In the Tower of Babel, they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to lift themselves up as being something great. But in the promise that God makes to Abram, it is God initiating, God acting, and God fulfilling. But it is true that Abram is no ordinary person. God does not make this exact promise to each one of us. He's a promise maker and keeper to us, but he isn't going to make you into a great nation or your name great in exactly the same way. But Abram is a prototype, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He is a seed, if you will, of that. And this working of God in Abram is a prophecy, or even a conduit through which grace flows that will ultimately be filled and fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is here foreshadowed. Abram is sent out with the promise of God. You think that this is a stretch, that this is tied to the Great Commission. Well, the Apostle Paul didn't think it was a stretch. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say into seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning the person who is Christ. Take heart that God has a call for you as well. For each one of us. Faith and obedience are displayed not when we hedge our risk, which we are prone to do, but when we dive into it fully and radically, trusting God and moving at His impulse, no matter what we can see, whether we can see the future or we can see the exit, some have negotiated the terms of our obedience so long that we could see obedience is not necessary. We have downplayed obedience in the church. We have neglected grace and we have downplayed obedience. There's a reason those two go together. And then we find that there is something lacking. And of course there is. Look, God may not be calling you to leave your country literally, though perhaps for some of us He will. The point is there is no room for negotiation with the Lord, just obedience. We get this idea that we can negotiate with God. Pastor Donald Gray Barnhouse put it this way. It makes no difference where it is, or what is its geology or geography? If the Lord leads us there, it is the land for us.
If the Lord does not lead us, it can never be the right land, even though it is paved with diamonds. In short, go the way God would have you go. Don't pay a bit of attention to whether it makes a whole lot of sense. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I want you to notice something about Abram. He is not special by accomplishment, but by designation. And we too, we are not special by our accomplishment. We are special by our designation as being sons and daughters, children of the living God. That means it is not dependent and it doesn't sway. On your best day and your worst day, you are still a child of God by His designation, by His promise making, and by His promise keeping. This is the good news, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Once He's given you a name, no one can erase it. It is yours by His decree. Abram did not choose God. God chose Abram. You did not choose God. God chose you. And the good news about that is we are promise-breaking people. We can say yes to God and no the next minute. In fact, that's what we do on a regular basis. That's what sin is. Every time we sin, we've said no to God. But there is no yes and no in God. There is only yes and amen in Jesus. This is about God's eternal security for His people. This passage is about God's faithfulness and His commitment and His never-ending pursuit of His children and the security that we have in Him. It isn't about a great man of faith. It's about a great God of faithfulness. And if you're not excited about that, if that doesn't offer you encouragement, then pray to the Lord that you would come to Him. Because that is the good news. We are reminded that God takes this promise very seriously, which we can see in places like the destruction of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Here is the covenant of grace in seed form. And isn't it interesting that the covenant of grace began with the call of God to Abram to separate himself? It required him to move. It required him to be distinct. So on the one hand, he must separate. On the other hand, he must be a blessing. Is this not what God calls us to? Is that not precisely what Jesus was telling us when He called us to be salt and light? To be in the world, but not of the world. Right? That's the picture we get. We must be different from the world in order to be a blessing to the world. You can't be a blessing to the community if you are exactly like the community. Let us walk not so much in the footsteps of Father Abram, but in the power of the promises of God. And let us be a blessing to others in the strength of God's power. This week, us, let us be a blessing to the people that God puts in our path, that they may come to know Him, to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.